Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
I am excited because I am learning so much. So, Raman, I know that you, well, we've been working together for a while. You guys, hey, hopefully you've been watching the succession of this nutritional health tip time that Raman is honestly gifting us. And so excited. Thank you for all the comments coming in, wanting to hear more. So he has a list. You guys just keep sending in comments and we're going to keep making them come up and on here and talk. But it really is like anything. I think it's not just the knowledge that we have, it's how we apply the knowledge. If we apply the knowledge, and when we apply the knowledge, then tweaking the knowledge. I mean, look, I can only talk, you know, my specialty, as you guys all know, is top performance in the arena of business. And my love for health and wellness has taken me down a pretty strong health and wellness path. But there's people that have really mastered their craft. And I'm learning so much. I'm learning as much as you guys are listening to these drops. And look, Raman's been training myself and Corinne for this incredible walk across Ireland. And, you know, Corinne's, the great thing is that, you know, Raman's giving her as much advice as well. She's up north doing her thing. She's working and he's in my face. I don't really get away with it as much at this point. But the one thing he keeps telling me is to drink more water. Now I'm going to be straight up transparent because why wouldn't I be? Is that when I was growing up, my mother used to say to me, I used to say to her, you should drink water. And she's like, I don't like the taste. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to throw it in the bucket of a loco. You know what I mean? I'm just like, that's crazy. Who doesn't like the taste of water? But I don't know what happened, but either do I. And so I make these big, you know, pots of cold herbal tea and I drink those. That's honestly how I get my liquids in. And then working with Rum, and he's like, you got to drink more water. And I'm like, I can barely drink water as I'm exercising. I mean, that's where I am right now. I'm sure when you guys talk to me in a year, he's going to have me at a whole different place. But right now, like, I don't like a lot of fluid on my tummy in the morning. We were hanging out at 7:30 in the morning. I was like, just trying to drink enough to satisfy him to get him off my back, which was not enough. And he would tell me that when he did exercise with people, they would drink 1, 2, 3, some of them 4 liters of water. And I'm like, I can't even possibly imagine. So you guys are going to have to keep on the journey with me as I'm attempting to try to incorporate more water. But I'm just going to tell you straight up, look at, here's my teacup. Here's my little teacup. And I drink little, this is actually an Irish teacup. So I was China. But I try to do that in, because I'm trying to get better at this area because I know it's important. We're not all perfect. So tell me, my friend, thank you for coming back again one more time to share with us. I need this more than probably anybody listening, but what's this thing with water?
Hi, everyone. Good morning again. We have another episode. I hope you already have a chance to watch the previous videos according to the energy role in our health and also the oxygen that is very obvious. Another more important or one, the second most important nutrient that our body required is the water. And now we are going through and why is that? And what happened if we experience the dehydration. So as you know, our body are composed of 60 to 80% from water. And it's vary in the male and female. So the females are like 65-ish to 70, male even more like 80 to 85%. Because the difference in the muscle, skeletal or muscle mass. And I have to add this to remind you that almost 70% of the planet covers from the water. So the health and the world and the water tied together in some point between all the creatures. I would like to break down some important statistics regarding the water to just start a warm up with why water. Why we need very regular consumption of the water during the day. So the brain consists of about 95% water. If you care about your brain health, you need to drink water. Body is 82%. The blood is 82%. Lungs, almost 90%. Remember the importance of the oxygen. Right. Your lungs also required to solve the oxygen we take from the environment in a liquid form that the blood would be able to deliver it to the cells. Muscles, plus 70%. Bones, like 25%. And the fat, the least, is 20%.
Wow.
So by considering that almost everywhere we need or every organ's health depends on the volume of the water in our body. And the reason is so simple, because all the nutrients delivered through the blood, and blood is a liquid with like 82% of the water.
Right.
So it's so clear why we have to drink water. And losing the water through the sweating or urine or any other ways, we have to replace it. Otherwise, dehydration can cause serious problems. We're going to talk about it down the road.
I was just going to say, you're so right. And we're surrounded by water. We feel better. I mean, I live in Vancouver, and I used to love swimming in the water. Like, well, it's funny. I don't drink it, but my son's name's Ocean. I am an ocean swimmer. I used to be so much more of an ocean swimmer than I have been the last couple of years. But there's just something about being in water that feels refreshing, that feels cleansing. Even with the idea of when I used to do a cleanse every 6 months, right? Just cleansing and drinking water and flushing the body out. You feel so much more vital. You feel so much more vital and so alive, right?
Very true.
So, okay. I'm looking forward to this. Okay. Back to you.
So let's share another statistics what would happen if we lost just 2% or we drop 2% of our body's water at a normal level. So it's going to trigger a sign of dehydration, fatigue, fuzzy short-term memory, trouble with basic math, difficulty focusing, reduction in physical performance, and these kind of signs that mostly we experience every day. Oh, I don't know what's happening to me, but I can't find my key. I don't know what's happening, but I don't have any energy. I don't know what's happening, but I have a fuzzy memory. Yeah, it comes from just drop of 2% of the water volume in our blood.
Wow.
Do you want to know what happened if these 2% turns to 4 to 5%? Okay.
you didn't hear a yes for me. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, a little scared now. Okay. Do tell.
It could be have a negative effects, like 20 to 30% decrease in a work and exercise performance.
Wow.
Like those days you say, I have no energy at all. I have no performance.
Wow. And we hear that all the time, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We experience it. We live with that.
Yes. And
it's caused, I mean, to avoid of this is so easy, so cheap, almost free. Just drink the water.
Yeah.
You don't need to drink the high volume of the water at once. You just need to have a taps during all the day. Mm. You have to keep the volume, then you are good. And if it turns from the 4 to 5 to 10%, I can say you are in significant health risk.
Wow.
just 10%.
Wow.
The body, you know, the body cannot survive longer than a week or 3 to 7 days, depends on the situation. If you are in a hot, warm environment, maybe 7 days without having a water. So it's serious. It's as serious as the oxygen, but it will not kill you in a couple of minutes, but in a week.
Right.
We are not talking about the death, but for health and boost it, it's essential to have a very balanced level of the water in our blood. So that being said, if we are more active, if we are sweating more, if we have a more urine in the bathroom, then it's signless, we have to replace it. But it's not that this, I'm gonna share more facts that what can cause dehydration more than even exercise.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, well, let's go for it. What causes dehydration? Number one for Deb is not drinking enough water. So there's a, let's just start with that.
Done. It's the 90% of the occasions. Mm-hmm. So let's before that, I talk about the function of the water in the body. I'm going to just go past quickly.
Okay.
So as we discussed previously, the primary component of the cells, tissues, organs, like 82% are water. So water is the base component. Also is the primary transport media, blood, for the nutrients to the cells to function and survive. Also, for the maintenance of the cells, like the pH balance, the temperature, I mean the heat balance, the metabolism, respiration, circulation, and neurological functions, all requires the blood in our body in adequate level.
Right.
Also, it serves as a lubricant in our joints. The fluid surrounds the cells and joints, the salvia. So everywhere you are looking, you are dealing with the water-based environment. Consumption of the adequate level of the water is really helpful by controlling and reduction of the various disease and conditions. Study shows that consumption of the 8 glasses of water, like at least 2 to 3 liters per day, associated with 79% reduction for breast cancer, 50% reduction for bladder cancer, and 45% reduction in colon cancer.
Wow.
Those are the most common cancers.
Wow. That's pretty serious. You know, I being a woman, you know, breast cancer, I mean, I know heart disease is above breast cancer, which is even unfathomable. And I had a little scare, which obviously everything is fine, but I had a little scare. And I think at some point, women tend to have those little like, ooh, they're calling me back for a mammogram sooner than I thought. And I had a conversation with my doctor, who's just brilliant and lovely. And we've been together for a long time as patient and client. And I said to him, I'm like, you know, we're just having this breast cancer conversation. He goes, yeah. He goes, you know, it's 1 out of 4. And I go, what? I mean, I almost fell off the bench. I'm not kidding. I was sitting at the park, almost fell off the bench. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, 1 out of every 4 women. I mean, I'm thinking of all the women that I know. And I'm like, after all these years of research, after all this money raised, after all this level of consciousness, there isn't anyone in the world, I don't think, that knows about breast cancer. I'm like, and still the statistics are that devastating, really. And I'm like, that's so, I mean, those kind of things are so important, what you just said, because prevention is got to be the key when your ratio is 1 out of 4. I mean, that's a huge number. That's a huge number. Anyways, not to throw people off on that, but anything you can do preventative, like you said, that's free, that's comes from your tap. You know, some people drink tap water, some don't. But look, at if you needed to drink water that was free out of your tap, you've got that resource right there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Wow. So go back to the subject, the muscles that and the healthy muscles is absolutely tied for availability of adequate amount of the water. Dehydration slow down the fat burning process in the muscles and also in the fat cells. Water is essential to maintain proper muscle tone and lubricate the joints. Reducing the muscle fatigue and joint soreness during and after the exercise. Exercising definitely burns the calories, mm-hmm. and stimulates the fat breakdown, but both product the toxics in our body. I mean, toxic byproducts because of those chemical activities in our body. Mm-hmm. What is essential? The process of the flushing those toxics out of the body through mm-hmm. the kidneys. So if you don't have enough water in your body, or if your blood is thick, you're putting pressure on your heart for pumping that, for liver to filter that, and also for kidney to flushing the toxics out. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. we won't want to get there, because all of them associated with lots of symptoms and conditions and the disease afterward. Don't rely on thirst.
Yeah, that should be the name of this whole thing. Don't rely on thirst, because so many people do. They're like, oh, I'm thirsty. Oh, and you wait till you're thirsty. But at that point, your body's already talking to you and is really having to compensate. It sounds like it's really having to really compensate for just that lack of
thirsty. You are already in a moderate dehydration. So
and when people eat things and drink things that we know dehydrate the body, how they have to counter that, right? I mean, I think caffeine is one of those things that also dehydrates, and people can go on about how good caffeine is, but one of the things caffeine does is dehydration. And so when I went to school, they'd say, if you drank a cup of coffee, you had to drink an eight ounce glass of water to compensate for as much dehydration as the coffee. Yet so many people drink coffee and tea as a form of hydration. So that's not making good math. That math isn't working out very well, right?
Correct. Thanks for bringing it out, up. That's the solution for that, because we are not going to say don't enjoy your life. If you have in a social events, you drink alcohol, if you love to start your day with a cup of coffee or tea, keep going. No one say don't go there, but you have to know what is waiting down the road for you. So to the solution to have the both sides, the joy and health together, is compensate by drinking more water.
Right.
So if you can't afford to drink more, that is make no sense to me. Don't use those kind of materials, I mean the nutrients. But if you are going to do it, that's totally fine for a while, but keep going, keep your hydration at the normal level.
Right.
So, yeah.
So to finish off, when you say normal level, so just to repeat that for people, because it's been a lot of really good information. So you're talking minimum 2 to 3 liters a day, correct?
So it depends. For men, the best is between 3 to 4. For female, the best is 3 to 4 liters per day. Depends on their physical activity, sweating level, and so on. For men's, like 4 to 6, depends on their height, weight, physical activity, and so on. So to be safe, say 2 and 3 is the minimum for everyone. But if you want to boost your health, drink water aggressively, not at a one moment, but during the day.
Right.
Carry water whenever and drink wherever is possible. Drink at least 2 cups of warm water when you wake up in the morning. Start your day with water. Drink through the day. Before going to bed, at least have 1 cup of the water to clean and wash your digestion system and get it prepared for the next day activity. And drink a cup of water before each meal, like 1/2 hour before each meal, not during the meal. Because some people has not sufficient amount of the stomach acid.
Okay.
Make it thinner and make the process of the digestion longer. So I have to say one more point about the digestion that we are here.
Yeah.
Digestion is a heavy process. It can take like 60% of whole energy that we get from the food. So it's interesting. We eat the food to have the energy, and 60% of those energy consumed by the digestion system itself. So we just have the 40% for our other vital activities.
So yes.
As much as we can make the digestion process easier and faster, we're going to have more energy for other stuff in our life.
Oh, okay. Well, folks, you heard it here. So it's interesting, right? It just kind of heightens your awareness, and I can see in different spots where I can kind of pick that up a little bit, right? And wow. So thank you so much for sharing. I know we have so much more to go, and I really encourage people that, you know, Raman is really giving us this information in a layered format. So if you didn't hear the video before, you know, and you didn't hear the video before that about how this whole process starts, I would suggest that you go back there and kind of catch up. Because just now that this is our third show, it's our third week, and just watching it, it really starts to play together. It really starts to play together. And, you know, you're not going to be able to do everything and all in one day, but I can see how just the progression and the adaptation of the information and tweaking from a long-term standpoint. I mean, one of my favorite books of all times is called The Slight Edge. Another book that I love, and Jeff Olson is the author, and Malcolm Gladwell is The Tipping Point. And I remember reading The Tipping Point before I read The Slight Edge, and The Tipping Point, the whole premise behind it. And now it talks and uses different examples like hockey players and, you know, a disease. And I mean, he uses all of these different things that have happened in our lives so we can relate to them, about how something gets to the point where it becomes the tipping point. You know, how that hockey player becomes the top NFL player, you know, because they showed, you know, promise when they were younger. And so they were plucked. And it seems like all of the top hockey players, their birthdays are in a certain, the majority in a certain time of year, because they actually had 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 8 months ahead of their counterparts in the same grade in school. But that 8 months of exercise, that 8 months of skill at 7 years old or 8 years old made them look like they were the better player. Therefore, they were plucked and put into this, and they just had more attention and more. So they continued to get better. It really is the same thing when you talk about your health, right? And it's the tipping point of not doing where disease shows up. And it's the tipping point of doing that keeps diseases at bay. You know, I mean, I've heard like people like, oh, well, they're healthy, but you know, that doesn't mean that they're not going to get sick. And I go, no one's wearing the Superman thing, but their odds are way over here. Their odds are way on this side of the scale. Cause if you look at the book and that tipping point, and the Slight Edge book have sold millions of copies, it's the small little things that you do that gained you momentum over time. Right. And you see people, like I've seen people so vibrant in their 70s and their 80s. My Ayurvedic teacher is well into her 80s, right? And that woman rocks. She just put a full-on UBC conference, da-da-da, talking to people. And I'm like, I know people in their 50s or 60s, I would have put them on their butt, right? So I really love what you're sharing in terms of just upping our game with this is not complicated stuff. But when you understand the complication behind it, when you understand the dynamics behind it, it helps propel us to pick up that extra glass of water. And clearly I'm talking about myself right now, to do that. So thank you. I know that's a long-winded way of doing things and talking, but that's just me. So, okay, you guys, well, I'm sure you are sitting at your seat waiting for next week, because I am as well. Thanks for joining, and comments, send them in. Questions, send them in. Thanks, Raman.
Thank you.
Okay.